Hi und herzlich willkommen hier zum Money, Business and the Universe Podcast, dem Podcast für ambitionierte Unternehmerinnen und Unternehmer, die jetzt ihr nächstes Business Level erreichen wollen. Und das über persönliche Weiterentwicklung, gelebter Spiritualität und dem Umsetzen von smarten Business Moves. Mein Name ist Dr. Mareike Bruns. Ich bin Host dieser Show und deine Money Mindset und Business Coach für deine persönliche Weiterentwicklung und dein Unternehmenswachstum. Ich freue mich riesig, dass du heute wieder in diese Folge eingeschaltet hast und wünsche dir jetzt ganz viel Spaß mit der heutigen Episode. Hi und herzlich willkommen hier zum Money Business and the Universe Podcast. Schön, dass du wieder eingeschaltet hast. Ihr Lieben, ich habe heute ein ganz besonderes Podcast-Interview für euch mitgebracht und zwar ein Interview mit dem lieben Bino. Ich habe es auf Instagram oder auf allen meinen Socials schon öfter erzählt, hier im Podcast weiß ich es gerade nicht, aber ich habe es mit Sicherheit irgendwo erwähnt. Ich mache ja jedes Jahr eine neue Fort-, Aus- oder Weiterbildung, um einfach immer im Coaching-Topic aktuell, einfach up-to-date zu bleiben, immer aktuell informiert zu sein und natürlich auch, um immer wieder neue Dinge dazu zu lernen, denn ich liebe es zu lernen, ich liebe es auch, Ausbildungen zu machen, immer wieder auch in neue Felder reinzugucken und so habe ich mich auch dieses Jahr entschieden, wieder eine neue Ausbildung zu machen, beziehungsweise für mich Fort- und Weiterbildung zu machen und das mache ich gerade in den USA, bin auch fast fertig, mache ich gerade in den USA als im Online-Format. Und dreht sich alles um das Thema holistisches Coaching. Also ihr wisst, ich bin ja sowieso sehr ganzheitlich unterwegs mit meinen Coaching-Ansätzen. Klar habe ich da den Fokus auf Business und Money, aber ich sage auch immer gleichzeitig, ein Business darf ganzheitlich passen, Spaß machen und das ganze Leben quasi mit berücksichtigen, denn es nützt uns nichts, wenn ich jetzt irgendwie ein laufendes Business habe und wahnsinnig viel Geld verdiene, aber der Rest vom Schützenfest ist halt irgendwie nichts. So, und um diesen holistischen Ansatz noch mehr zu prägen, habe ich noch diese Weiterbildung zum holistischen Coach jetzt gemacht in den USA und es hat mir sehr viel Freude gemacht. Und es gab einen Teacher in dieser School, wo ich jetzt diese Fortbildung gemacht habe, der Spiritual Practices unterrichtet hat. Und das war der liebe Bino. Und ihr Lieben, immer wenn ich beim Bino in der Stunde gesessen habe, da habe ich aber solche Dumbo-Ohren gehabt und zugehört, weil ich das so spannend fand, was er erzählt hat und was er einfach geteacht hat in seinen Lessons. Und daraufhin habe ich ihn gefragt, ob er nicht mal Lust hätte, darüber auch im Money Business and the Universe Podcast zu berichten und auch zu erzählen, was er so an Spiritual Practices macht, wie er das lebt und wie er auch sein Leben damit verändert hat. Und das hat Bino heute gemacht und ich freue mich sehr, ihn heute in der Podcast-Folge begrüßen zu dürfen und freue mich, dieses Interview mit euch zu teilen. Ihr Lieben, das Interview ist auf Englisch. Das heißt, man kann gut zuhören, ihr könnt alles mitnehmen und so weiter, aber wer jetzt sagt, boah, da habe ich jetzt irgendwie doch nochmal, vielleicht hier und da mal Schwierigkeiten zuzuhören, auch er kommt aus Indien, das heißt, hier und da sind auch mal ein paar Wörter aus dem Sanskrit mit dabei. Wer da jetzt sagt, Mensch, da bräuchte ich nochmal Unterstützung, wer in meinem Newsletter angemeldet ist, hat automatisch ein PDF mit einem Abschrieb von diesem Podcast-Interview bekommen und auch mit einer deutschen Übersetzung. Das heißt, ihr könnt da, wenn ihr ja irgendwas nicht mitbekommen habt oder denkt, Mensch, da bräuchte ich nochmal Unterstützung, könnt es da nochmal easy nachlesen und einfach, dort in dem PDF nochmal folgen. Solltet ihr nicht in meinem Newsletter angemeldet sein und diese Datei aber gerne haben wollen zur Unterstützung, dann sendet bitte eine E-Mail mit dem Betreff Podcast Bino an team@mareikebruns.de, Mareike Bruns in einem Wort, und wir senden euch das umgehend zu, sodass ihr alle Access habt zu diesem wundervollen PDF. Ihr Lieben, wenn ihr den Bino im Anschluss sucht und sagt, Mensch, das interessiert mich auch und da würde ich gerne mal ein paar Classes zu machen, dann findet ihr die Kontaktdaten zum Bino in den Shownotes. Ich werde ihn heute auch verlinken auf Instagram. Und wer im Anschluss sagt, Mensch, Mareike, mit dir hätte ich auch mal Lust zu arbeiten und sowieso höre ich super gerne deinen Podcast, auch da findet ihr alle die Kontaktdaten mit in den Shownotes. Und ich freue mich jetzt riesig, euch das wundervolle Interview mit Bino zu präsentieren und ich wünsche euch ganz viel Spaß beim Zuhören. Welcome everybody to the today's episode of the Money, Business and the Universe podcast. And as you can hear already in my language, today I have an international guest here in the podcast and I'm very, very happy to welcome Bino Prasad. I hope I pronounced your family name right. I just know you as Bino. And Bino, I'm so happy that you're here today.
I'm honored. I'm really honored.
Binu, I know you're a mindset coach. I know you're also a teacher for spiritual practices. And I know you better from the last thing that I just called, like being a spiritual teacher. And would you like to also introduce yourself today in the podcast episode? Who is Binu? What are you doing?
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, I mean, just to give you a quick brief about myself, I mean, I'm a holistic mindset coach, certified from Radiant Coaching Academy. I am 52, and you know, I've been actually in a stage of my life at the moment wherein I've realized that the rest of my life I should be actually living a life of, you know, being a contributor, being a contributor to the souls around me who really needs that little bit of wisdom that I gathered, that little bit of, you know, self-awareness which I have gathered, which of course didn't come to me, you know, for very long, and it just recently encountered, wherein through my constant and consistent meditation and yoga practices, and also my own introspection into myself, I started realizing that there's so much of potential inside you, and I really wanted to convey this and also share these experiences with a lot of people around me. So that's a stage that I am in my life at the moment. So I love coaching people on mindset, because everything in life is about how your mindset is. It's all about you know, your thought process, and how are you able to actually maneuver your thoughts so that your life becomes a joyful being. So that's where I come from. So I would not go much into the details about my education and my qualifications and my my work experiences and all that, but I would love to see myself and identify myself as a mindset coach. That's what I really love doing, and that's what I would love to do for the rest of my life.
That's amazing and wonderful. And talking about this mindset and what you said, you do a lot of yoga, you do a lot of meditation. This is what you also do. You are also teaching at this Radiant Institute, and this is how I know you, because I'm also doing an education there right now. And I'm always in your, when I have the time of the evening and I'm there, and I'm always listening with big ears what you're teaching about spirituality and all those topics around meditation and yoga. And I really love it. And it's a wonderful way how you teach those topics. Binu, I remember one lesson with you where you said that this spiritual practices and also like yoga and meditation and so on came into your life in 2016, when I remember that right. Absolutely. Can you give us a brief, maybe a brief summary how your life was before 2016 and after 2016, where those spiritual practices came into your life?
Well, everything in life happens for a reason. And we seldom realize that, you know, that you are part of a design. And your life is actually designed already. And we think that we are making our life. Actually, we are not. It's already been designed. We just need to align ourselves to the universe. And everything happens in alignment with the universe. So in 2016, I realized that alignment. Mm-hmm. Until then, I did not realize it. I was living my life, going after everything that I wanted more in my life, be it education, be it a job, be it money, be it relationship, be it anything that you really want, be it food, you know, be it clothes, shopping. And I was a non-vegetarian until 2016, and I used to eat anything, and I could eat any meat. I used to love eating a lot of food. And I realized that I kind of took it, that's life, and that's life that you see, that everybody around you is actually following it. 2016, by the grace of God, I happened to receive an email, and I have no idea how did that email land in my email box. And it was about inner engineering program by Isha Yoga Center. They have yoga center in Tennessee as well as yoga center back in down south in India. And that email was to invite for an introductory session. So I actually clicked on, and I booked my registered myself for that session, and it was early morning at 4 o'clock, and I missed that session. I slept over, and I did not get through that session. By God's grace again, I did not give up. I went and registered again for it for the very next day, and I made it on the next day at 4 in the morning. And I ensured that I was up, and everything happened by the grace of God. And I attended that session, and it was all about inner engineering and talking about engineering your inner self. And it also talked about it, the in is the only way out. And I don't know, it caught my senses, and I said, in is the only way out. So there isn't any point in looking outside, but look inside, and everything that you want outside will fall in place as the way that you want if you start looking inside. Then I went and joined myself for a retreat, and that was 3 nights and 4 days. And out of the 3 nights, I spent time in the forest and on the stream, the river streams in the forest. I got myself completely attached to the nature, and I loved being there doing that course for 3 nights and 4 days, and that transformed my life. 2016 April, to be very precise, hot summer in India. And I went and I made sure that I was barefoot the day when I landed there, and I made sure that I was barefoot. And my walking around on that hot summer with with the earth, the soil being very, very hot, I was burning my feet. I kind of, and that transformed me. And as soon as I finished my course and came back, I turned to vegetarian. I decided that I will quit everything, and I quit non-vegetarian completely. And it was an all of a sudden, and that transformed my life again. So my food style changed. I started fasting. I did fasting for days. I did water fasting, and I started seeing that my body became more younger. And till date, people used to look at me and said, "You don't look like 50 plus." It's all because of the food habits. Then I started doing yoga and meditation. I wasn't so great. I mean, you know, when you when I wasn't so great in yoga and meditation, I wasn't even realizing that I was doing something. But then, I mean, if you read the book, Osho's book on meditation, he talks about it, saying that it's all right if you don't feel anything, or you don't feel, you don't feel blank while doing meditation. You have so many thoughts running in your mind while doing meditation. It's all right. There could be a moment where you might experience that moment of silence, a moment of tranquility during your meditation practices, probably for 5 seconds, 5 minutes. That's good enough. It doesn't matter. It doesn't mean that you got to be reaching that tranquil stage every time when you meditate. Even if you reach for 5 minutes, if you are able to catch that moment, that's good enough. And that transformed my life. And I've experienced that moment many times in my life.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. And also thank you for sharing that it at least 5 minutes are more than enough. I think where many people are maybe blocking themselves with the topic of meditation or doing yoga or whatever is like, oh my God, I'm not doing that properly. Or I'm really not getting to the point where I really calm down or whatever. And I would say, like, the moment where you have the intention to do this, even if it's not working that well or as you want to, it's perfect because you at least did it. I think Dr. Wayne Dyer said, like, there's no such a thing as a bad meditation. And I think that's wonderful. Was in 2016 also the point where you got your own business or self-employed with meditation, or were you all still in this other part of career, what you did?
Well, I mean, I've always had another career and I still have another career, which I run, which I do, and I'm full-time working on it. Last year, I decided to quit my job. And I quit. And then I decided not to work anymore. And then another opportunity came to me where it was a sort of aligning with what I really want to do in my life. It was more of a transformation of an organization. It was more of a transformation of mindsets of people who lead the organization. And I thought to myself that, being a mindset coach, and if I'm able to transform the mindsets of people who lead the organization, why don't I take it up? So I took up that job, and it's been a year now. And everyone around and, who deals with these leaders, they feel that they feel overstressed. They feel so much of demands from their work. And people look at me, a lot of them, they look at me and say that, Binu, why do you smile always? And you have a smile every time. I mean, you have the same energy in the morning and same energy in the evening. And the only thing which I had to tell them that, listen, I mean, I also go through a lot of stress. And dealing with people where fixed mindset and changing that to a growth mindset, it's not an easy task. And the only way that I'm able to actually keep myself stress-free is only because I realized that the lesser the attachment, the better, the more joyful you are.
Yeah. That's an important sentence. That's a very important sentence.
Yeah.
Talking about detachment, I would like to go to a topic that you also addressed 2 weeks before in your spiritual teaching class, and it was about sadhana. I hope I pronounced that right. The like your practice for well-being. This is what I remembered, like as an overall topic. And there was also a thing where you talked about detachment, and that this is also about detachment, about everything. What you want and so on, and just be aligned and focus on your well-being. Could you explain to our listeners what sadhana means and how sadhana also is dealing with detachment?
Oh, yes. Any sort of meditation practices that you do is called sadhana. Sadhana is a Sanskrit word. It just simply means wherein you bring your body, mind, and soul aligned. You bring all of them into an alignment. So that's called sadhana. It could be a yoga. It could be a meditation. It could also be, cooking your food. Or it could also be sweeping your floor. Or it could be also being kind to somebody who is stranger to you. All of this are called sadhana. wherein you are aligning your body, mind, and soul, the spirit. So this is sadhana. Sadhana is a Sanskrit word. Any ritual that you do on a daily basis, that's also called sadhana. So when we say that, have you done your sadhana today? It means, have you done your ritual practice today? It just simply means, have you been with yourself?
Yeah.
Have you spent time with yourself? And it could be a meditation, it could be a yoga, it could be any of the asanas, it could be any rituals, any of these. And your next question was that, what was your next question on the sadhana?
Like, how does that help to detach?
Oh, yes. Trust me, every problem in life is because of the attachment.
Yes, that's so true. That's so true.
My phone, my laptop, my clothes, my pillow, my chair, friend, my boyfriend, my wife, my son, my daughter, my dad, my mom, my, it's all my. The moment you take out that, you are in absolute freedom.
Yeah.
And when you are in absolute freedom, you connect with yourself. Otherwise, you are connecting with everything around you.
That's so true.
Not an easy thing to do. You know, I used to tell my son, remember one thing, that your children are not your children.
Yeah.
Your children are there by design, by the universe. You just happen to be a medium. So the moment you realize that your children are not your children, you've already detached from them. You start seeing them as a creation by the creator.
Yeah.
You happen to be a mold.
Yeah.
You just happen to be a simple mold. And the more you start detaching, the more you get attached to yourself.
Given this wonderful sentence and this beautiful insights that you just gave us for detachment, how does your detachment, or let's say, how did your detachment process look like, and how does it still look? So what are you doing specifically for your satana? I'm not that familiar with Sanskrit. This is why it sounds a little bit German, but how do you do this? And because what I feel that so much what you say, and it resonates so deeply with me. But then I come back into my business coaching world and to the corporate world, where there's a lot of ego and I have to, and my success and this and that. And it's for me always such a process every day to come into this detachment and say, listen, I'm with myself and I'm the creator. Let's put all this ego away and do something that is aligned and that is with my soul. And I find it so difficult, especially in the society and world we live today, to practice this detachment and to relax and go with your divine design. So my question would be, what are you doing and what is your satana to practice this detachment?
Well, it's there in every moment in your life.
Yeah.
You walk into a shop, a retail shop, and you wanted to pick up that beautiful cookies, lovely cookies. You even start, you know, salivating, you know, and you decide not to buy it. You practiced detachment.
Yeah.
You've done it. Often we don't do that. We get attracted and we can just go. So you're making yourself being very conscious. So there are four things that, you know, that creates all sort of attachment and all sort of egos and all sort of all sort of desire. One is food, the other is sex, third is sleep, and the fourth is death. If you are able to do all of these consciously, you will be able to, one, of course, you will be able to control all your desires.
Mm-hmm.
When you control all your desires, you will control all your attachments.
Yeah.
So it's a gradual process.
Yeah.
It's a conscious act.
Yeah.
I love coffee, but I decide not to have coffee today.
Yeah.
So I will practice detachment.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's all here in the mindset.
Yeah. What I really loved about this concept of satana was one thing where you said, even if I say, like, I do this for 10 days, or I'm practicing not to eat chocolate or sweets or whatever for 10 days, or I eat healthy for 10 days, that this even is satana and detachment, or satana and detachment. And I really like those, like, I do this for 10 days. I do not have to do this for my entire life and to say that I will never ever do this, but I'm now trying to do this like for the next 10 days or whatever. And I think like what you said with this being conscious and being aware of what I'm doing is such a good step to start, even maybe in still baby steps, because I don't know when we start to detach from everything where we're attached to, I think that might be too much in the beginning. So I really like what you've said, like, today I'm doing it like this. I'm not doing it today. And that's an amazing approach.
Absolutely.
There was one other concept within this sadhana and like the teachings that you gave us, that was called, I hopefully pronounced that right, Brahma Muta.
Brahma Muhurta.
Yeah. And I will explain that in a minute, but I did that in directly in the night where you told me that, and I put now the word is missing. What
alarm.
You do, alarm, thank you, on 3:30 in the night to stay, to be awake and to have this energy. And could you give us an insight about that? What is meant by this and why you're doing this?
Well, it is mentioned in the ancient books of wisdoms, which was written 10, 12,000 years ago. The epics of Ramayana, Mahabharata, Vedas, Upanishads, all these epics in the Hinduism, or in non-Hinduism, even before the religion Hindu came in and all these were existing. It was mentioned that there is this time when there is a geographical alignment. And that time is between 3 to 4 a.m. in the morning, precisely 3:30, 3:40 in that time. And that time, the universe energy is at the peak level, and it's all coming towards, you know, towards the beings around. And that's the best time to receive the universe's energy. And that time is called Brahma Muhurta. Brahma means divine, and Muhurta means time. So there is a divine time that's between 3:30 to 3:40 in that range, between 3 and 4 early morning. At that time, if you can get up from the bed, sit on the bed straight with your spine up, spine straight, and simply meditate, or even pray, or even chant, or even just focus on your breathing, that's a good time to to absorb the universe's energy. So Brahma Muhurta is a good time, and people, you can even use affirmations for yourself. You know, you can even set your intentions at this time. You can even create certain manifestations at this time. So this is a time to where it's like this, that, you know, I always give this example that if Amazon has to deliver a package to your home today, and Amazon's have got so many packages to deliver, you know, all around your street, but imagine it has to deliver only to you. It will reach much faster than ever, right? So when the whole world is sleeping, the universe's energy is coming to you, and you're the only one who's awake, you know, waiting to receive it. So it receives much faster.
Yeah.
So it's exactly the same. So this is, it's called Brahma Muhurta.
Yeah. I found that so, like, I would love to share an experience that I made in that night. Of course, I'm absolutely not used to do that. So in the middle of the night, the alarm rings, I woke up and I did what you said. And I just tried to meditate as best as I could because my eyes wanted to sleep. And I was there with a straight spine sitting in the bed. And just I just had this picture in my mind with that city. And I thought, like, God and universe just sending that to me, all the things. And it was so interesting how I was led on that day, like by the universe, by God. I did that meditation thing, then I slept again and I woke up, and the first word that came up into my mind was Kundalini.
Wow.
And I was like, Kundalini, what is Kundalini? I have absolutely no idea. I mean, I've heard that, of course. I think it's quite common in this yoga thing and whatever, but it was Kundalini. Why is that coming up? And I was like, I forgot about that thought, and like was like Kundalini, whatever. And then I was jogging and heard a podcast episode, and that guy, it was a completely different topic. It had nothing to do with spirituality, but that guy started to say, listen, did you ever heard of Kundalini? And I was like, wait a minute, why is that coming up all the time? And what I did then was like to follow that, Googled it, and I found a meditation on YouTube, and I was like, well, let's start and do this Kundalini thing. And I Googled it, I just to get an idea what Kundalini is and why I should do that. And I did that and had the impulse to lay on the floor. I did the meditation, was quite powerful. I came up with my spine, and in that moment, my whole spine was like knack, 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 you know, like all this noises. And I was like, that's impossible, because I felt like my energy had like space to go through my spine again, through my whole upper body. And I was standing in a completely different direction. It was like the energy was flowing through my body. And I was like, I think I should do this quite more often, this 3:30 thing in the morning. That was so crazy. So I'm happy. I was so happy that I can share this now with you, that was like the Kundalini impulse. And I don't think that we talked in that last lesson about Kundalini. It just came up. It just, the word came up and I was Googling it, and then this podcast episode, and then the energy was flowing again. That was incredible.
Wonderful.
Yeah, that was really wonderful. We talked about a lot of things like sadhana, brahma, speak that word. And this I call it the 3:30 thing. And I think there are so many other concepts. I mean, today in your class, we talked about Ayurveda, we talked about the different types. There are, at least what you taught about sadhana, about all these different types in yoga, etc. There are so many things. When you start you think like, oh my God, there are so many words and so many things in the spiritual practices. When you start to get connected to those topics and you're interested in, what would you say is from a one theoretical point of view, a good start, and two from a practical view point of view, a good start to deal with spiritual practices and to integrate them into your daily business?
Oh, yes. Well, I mean, you know, Bhagavad Gita talks about three things. One, it talks about knowledge. Then it talks about practice. Then it talks about discipline. So knowledge of the spiritual science or the spiritual content, knowledge is important. But knowing the spiritual stuff is not just only enough. You also need to put that into practice. And practicing is also not enough. You also have to be disciplined in that practice. And that gives you, that puts you into the path of spirituality. I mean, the so-called, you know, the word spirituality is probably very commonly used and misused. It doesn't mean that you're actually following a religion, or it doesn't mean that you are praying to some God out there, you know. If you are kind to unkind people, or if you are kind to a strange person, that is spirituality. So, feeling that and knowing that you got to be kind, that's a knowledge. Practicing it, what you're doing, and being more disciplined about it, and you always do it, you know, and that's spirituality. So theoretical knowledge of it and putting that into practice and being more disciplined about that practice makes you a spiritual person overall.
So would you say that a good start for practicing spirituality, even from a theoretical point of view or practical point of view, is to just start to be more aware of what you're doing in a disciplined way?
Absolutely. Be conscious.
Yeah.
Conscious eating, conscious sleeping, conscious relationship, conscious conversations.
How did you start 2016 with being more conscious in everything what you do?
Well, I wasn't very conscious in 2016. I mean, you know, it just happened to me, and I really don't know when did all that shift happen. It happened, I would say it happened gradually. It did not happen, you know. I mean, I went back and forth, and you know, it didn't transform me all of a sudden. But by God's grace, I was consistent, and I was feeling that I wasn't having something, or I was feeling that I was missing something if I don't do it. You know, the so-called sadhana that I spoke about. If I don't do it in a day, I used to feel very guilty. So if I don't do, you know, we learned something called Shambhavi Mahamudra. It's a kind of a kriya. Now there's a difference between kriya and karma. Karma is an external action. Kriya is an internal action. All right. So there's something called a kriya yoga. Kriya yoga is something where you do a yogic practice for insight. Okay. It's not that movement of the body and all that stuff. So kriya yoga, there are various types, various methods of doing kriya yoga. So the one which I do every day religiously is called Shambhavi Mahamudra kriya, which is a very, very powerful kriya. Okay. And I do this every day morning. Ever since 2016, when I learned this Shambhavi Mahamudra Kriya, I'm not authorized to teach that because I'm still not a teacher of Shambhavi Mahamudra Kriya. You really need to learn this from an attained yogi or an attained teacher who's reached that level. But I do practice. All right. So when I practice this Shambhavi Mahamudra Kriya, it kind of, over a period of time, it starts showing results. it started showing the cells in the in your body structure, in your energy levels. You don't fall sick often. Your thought process gets purified. You become more compassionate. You become more loving. You become more more conscious, and your anger comes down. Your anxiety levels comes down, and your restlessness. You become more stable. In your mindset, you becomes more stable. You become more positive. You start looking at life as is and not worse than it is. And you always try to make life better than what it is.
Yeah.
So it's a process.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen all of a sudden.
Yeah. How does this practice look like? I do not even try to say that name.
Yes. It's a series of you know, actions. I mean, it actually first it starts with certain affirmations inside you. Then it takes you to part of a yoga wherein you do there's an asana called Patankasana. Then there's a Shishupalanasana. Patankasana is butterfly asana. Shishupalanasana is that rocking the baby asana. Then you do Nadi Vibhajana, which is like cat stretch. You do that. Once you do that, then you do a breathing practice. After the breathing practice, then there's an Om chanting that you do. And after the Om chanting, then you do rapid breathing.
Mm-hmm.
After the rapid breathing, then you do a do you lock your lock your you do a neck lock and you do a stomach lock and you do an anal lock with your breath in, and then you breathe out, and then you do another lock with your breath out, and then you do then you sit for some time with a meditative mind by looking by keeping your head little high, and so it takes about almost 41 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
41 minutes it takes. And once you finish that on a regular basis, when you do it, you start seeing changes in your own energy levels in your body. It's you start seeing a lot of results.
Yeah. And I think it's so powerful to have such a beautiful practice in the morning, like to be centered, to be aware, to connect to yourself. I think, I mean, what you say, I think it's a combination of this meditation affirmation thing. It's a combination of yoga and breath work. And it's, I think, a wonderful way to connect to yourself and to start the day very aware. That's
yes.
Amazing. I have two last questions for you, Bino. What is your favorite kind of meditation? So I had the I'm a lucky person, so I had the chance to do a meditation with you, and it was one I remember that picture so well. Like we were like the meditation was about going onto a mountain, and then there was this energy stream and around us and so on. It was such a beautiful picture. I often reconnect to it because I found that very powerful, and it also had a special name. Please don't ask me about the name. Well, it was really a powerful and a strong meditation. And like having that in mind, what is your favorite kind of meditation? And what would you recommend a person who's just new into it?
See, anyone who is new to meditation, you know, who wants to do meditation first time, I always advise them to do 5 minutes meditation,
mm-hmm.
not more than 5 minutes. In that 5 minutes, I would advise them to just close their eyes, take a deep breath, you know, take two more deep breaths, you know, slow inhalation and slow exhalation. Post that, I will actually, you know, ask them to bring out the thought which they have in their mind. So whatever thought is running in your mind, you just bring it out. And think about it. Be with that thought. after that thought is over, then you tell yourself that what is next? Where is my next thought? I'm waiting for my next thought. I'm waiting for my next thought. And when you wait for your next thought doesn't come.
Yeah.
Because you keep on saying that I'm waiting for the next thought. I'm waiting for the next thought. Because only waiting happens. Thought doesn't come.
Yeah.
Doing this for 5 minutes is enough to start with.
Yeah.
Then you can gradually move to, you know, breathing pattern. You know, you do your pranayama, you could do that. You could just sit quietly and observe all the noises that are happening around you. You could do that. You can put earbuds into your ears and shut your ears completely and put earbuds deep inside, or put cotton inside your ears and listen to the sound of silence. And when you close your ears, there's a sound. You can hear that sound. This is the vibrations of the universe as well.
Okay.
If you close your ears completely, and if you focus your attention to the noise, the sound inside your brain, you will hear a sound.
Yeah.
And I call it a sound of silence.
Yeah.
Focus on this sound is also a meditation.
Yeah.
So there are various, you know, ways for beginner.
I would try that, by the way. I never tried that with listening to that sound. That's amazing. What is coming back to the beginning question to meditation? What is the most powerful kind of meditation that you find the most powerful?
Well, I've done the meditation which is wherein I have. I think I took you through that, wherein you do a lot of imaginations and you do visualization and you just go float yourself into the sky. And with the right sound and the music, you go into a different level.
Yeah.
Very powerful music. And that's the kind of meditation that I really like it. And I really, it takes me to a different stage, different level.
Yeah.
And there are meditations called Kalpavrisha meditation. You know, Kalpavrisha meditation means anything that you want, you can attain from that meditation. You know, that's why it is called Kalpavrisha. All your needs and all your what you really want in life can be achieved through that meditation. That's a lot of visualization, and that's a very powerful meditation.
I really like that too. I really love to work with visual meditations, and also to practice visualization, actually, because I think that's the most powerful tool to create something that you can't see in your physical world but want to see in your physical world. And this is like the eye of God, so to say, to put it into your visualization practice. Now I've got the word. And to practice this, because I think we are so often not connected to this wonderful tool that we have, or let's say not aware of this wonderful tool that we have, and to imagine just how powerful we can be, in what position we want to see us, etc. So I really love meditations too, where you have also this music thing, but also like you have this very powerful practicing of visualization. That's amazing, I think. Binu, last question.
Sure.
If we want to learn something from you, and now I lost the sentence, sorry. So if we want to learn from you, and if we want to find you, and if we want to reach out to you, where can we find you the best? Like where are your contact data? Where are you on social media, whatever?
Yes, I'm on Instagram and I'm mostly active on Instagram, and you can search for me on Mindset Coach Binu. That's where I put in a lot of mindset related tips, and I keep recording any mindset tips that comes to my mind anytime. Most often I come across certain revelations when I do meditations, and what I usually do is that I immediately record that. Absolutely not a professional recording. It's as natural as it is. It's just the way the words flow out of my mouth. It's just that it's just not something that is made up. It's just very natural. And I put that most often I put that straight into Instagram. So Mindset Coach Binu, that's my Instagram handle. That's where you would find me more.
Right. So you guys, we all put that, of course, in the show notes so that you can reach out to Bino and to his work. If there is there like in my podcast episodes when I have interviews, there's always like the last sentence, the last word is for my guest. So is there anything that you want to give to the listeners of the podcast show today?
I said it in our conversation earlier, and it's a very powerful one. If you have to find a way out, in is the only way out.
So powerful. Binu, thank you very much for sharing your knowledge. Thank you for being here. Thank you for all the wisdom that you shared with us. And I was very happy to welcome you here in the Money Business and the Universe podcast.
Thank you very much. Most welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Du Liebe, das war die aktuellste Folge im Money Business and the Universe Podcast. Ich freue mich riesig, dass du hier wieder eingeschaltet hast. Freue mich auf dich nächste Woche, wenn es eine neue Episode gibt hier im Podcast. Und wenn du gerne mit mir zusammenarbeiten möchtest, dann findest du alle Links mit Kontaktdaten und wichtigen Informationen hier in den Shownotes. Mir bleibt jetzt wie am Ende einer jeden Podcast-Folge nur noch zu sagen, egal an welchem Projekt du gerade dran bist, bleib unbedingt dran und ich wünsche dir unendlich viel Erfolg dabei. Alles Liebe zu dir, deine Mareike.